Well, good morning. My name is Wes, and I am the college and young adult pastor here at the chapel. I work with the 18 to 20-something group, that pocket. If you are in that pocket, let me give you a personal invitation to come and join us. Tuesday nights, we gather right here at 8 o'clock. We have about 500-600 college kids coming out. God is doing some really cool stuff. We also broadcast live online Tuesday at 8, so you can check it out that way as well. But man, this morning, I'm excited because I get the privilege of sharing God's word with you today. We're in the middle of a series called Idle Lies. And the idol we're going to look at today, man, it's huge. The impact of this idol is enormous. It is far-reaching. There is a lot on the table here today. There's a lot at stake in this. So that's why we've got to hear from God today. I mean, Benji and the group has just led us so wonderfully to this point. But man, you need to hear from God, not from me. Now, I got nothing off you, but God who created you, who designed you, who thought you up, who put you on this planet, who orchestrated the details of your life to bring you to this spot right here today, or maybe online, or maybe there at Lockport, this God wants to speak into your life something very personally and something very profound. See, God didn't just put you on this planet so that you could like bump around and string a bunch of random experiences together and then you'll die. No way. This God says, I've got a plan and a purpose for your life, and I want to speak to that today. I want to speak to your life. So you got to hear from, I got to hear from him. And that's exciting stuff, that we can hear from the God of the universe. Are you kidding me? That is exciting stuff, and I don't want us to miss it. And so I'm going to ask you to do what I ask the college kids to do when we gather here each week, is that you would ask God to speak to you and ask him to give you ears to hear. Can we do that together? Because I want him to speak to me too. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes right where you are. And if you would, just silently, maybe you've never tried this before, but just, you know, let me encourage you, please do it. Just silently say, God, you've got my attention. Speak to me. Give me ears to hear. I'll respond. And then if you would, just silently pray for the people around you. That God would give them ears to hear, and he would speak to their hearts as well. And then if you would, please just pray for me that I would have everything God wants me to have in order to communicate his heart and his truth accurately for his glory. Thanks. Again, Heavenly Father, we just bow before you. We're so grateful to be here in your presence. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to gather in this place. And God, I pray that by your Spirit, you would speak powerfully to us. Give us ears to hear, God, because we're the only ones that can mess this thing up, because you've brought us here to say something profound to us. May we not miss it. Lord, help us to listen to what you have to say, and may we go out of here responding to your truth. Lord, I thank you so much. Jesus, thanks so much for the help you'll give me. I'll wreck this without you. So God, you get all the glory, because you alone are worthy. We love you, Christ. Thank you for loving us. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 3 is where we're going to be. Genesis chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the seat back in front of you. You can grab that. And it's the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. We're going to be there in just a moment. Now, today, the idol we're talking about is the idol of power. The idol of power. Now, when people hear the word power, there's a lot of different things that come to different people's minds. When you hear the word power, you may think of something like this, for example. You know, crushing power of a mighty waterfall, man, and all that that entails. That's pretty impressive. Or maybe when you hear the word power, you think of this, you know, an awesome and terrifying storm and the power of nature. Or maybe when you hear the word power, you think of this, you know, a rock, the hundreds of thousands of thrust power that it takes to launch something into the atmosphere. Or maybe when you hear the word power, you think of this. Yeah, I know, right? That's a lot. That's too much power right there. That's Pastor Jerry and his 2009 Mr. I Am the World winnings right there. Take that off. That's too, we need to pray again. I mean, that's just, I mean, come on, right? I mean, that's actually where Pastor Jerry is today. He's overseas defending that title. I didn't know if you know that, but I just say that. I'm kidding. How cool is it that we have a pastor that lets me do stuff like that, right? I mean, come on. That is awesome. We are blessed, man. I say that now, and then I'll be fired tomorrow. But anyway, Well, as massive as those displays of power are, and there's no doubt about it, they are, you know, especially that last one, right? That's not the power we're talking about. But make no mistake, the power of this idol, make no mistake, the power of this idol is unbelievable in its ability to grab and to rip and to tear our lives apart. In fact, the power of this idol is probably even deeper and greater than those powers that we've seen, because it starts in the inside of who we are and it works its path of destruction outward. And it does so using this lie. I can control my life. That's the lie that the idol of power wants you and me, wants us to buy into, that I can control my life. Now, we're gonna cover a lot of ground this morning. We're gonna go fast, so hang with me, stay with me, because I promise you it'll be worth the ride. It's worth the ride. But here's where we're going. We're gonna answer two questions. You know, what does this idol do, and how can we deal with it? What does this idol do? This idol brings wreckage into your life, into my life. It'll wreck your lives in three ways. First way, it'll wreck your life because it'll wreck your relationship with God. It wrecks this idol. You buy into this lie, I can control my life, will wreck your relationship with God. Take a look at Genesis. Way back in the beginning, this is where this idol started. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. That's where it started. Idol of power, I can control my life. This is where it started. See, Adam and Eve, they didn't just want to know the difference between right and wrong. They wanted to decide for themselves what was right, what was wrong. In essence, they were saying, "God, look it, I know what you say, but I got a better plan for me. I want to be in control. I want to be master of my own destiny. I will decide what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false. I'm going to make that choice." In other words, they were saying, "I'm going to be God," because that's where that leads. I'm going to be God. You only got room for one God in your life, and if you're it, he's not. It's that simple. And when you and I choose to buy into this lie, I can control my life, the exact same thing that happened to them happens to us. We run and we hide from God, alienation from him. I mean, you look at the text, you've got guilt and shame and blame shifting. The wreckage just comes and pours over us because we're saying to God, "You're not in charge, I am." And the wreckage will be complete and guaranteed. You can't dodge it, and neither can I. This idol, it'll wreck your relationship with God. Secondly, it'll wreck your relationship with others. See, when you put yourself in a position of control, relational conflict is just right around the corner. Because you're saying, "Look it, I'm in charge, and I want something, and you better give it to me, because it's me, it's all about me. I'm gonna control this thing." It's subtle, but man, it beats people up. James paints a picture for us what this looks like. Look at James. Yeah, look at James right up here. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight." Look at that. Does that sound like a relationship anybody wants? Have you ever heard somebody say, "Hey, you know what? That's the kind of relationship I want. A lot of fighting, a lot of feuding. That sounds awesome to me," right? Have you ever heard somebody say, "You know what? I love it when my husband yells a lot. When he yells and screams a lot at me, that's awesome. I love that." Or how about, "Man, when my wife gets so mad at me, she wants to kill me. Oh, I can't get enough of that." Really? Or how about, "Man, when my friend burns with envy against me, oh man, that is so fabulous. I want more of that. How can I get more of that? Because that is so great." Nobody talks like that, man. Nobody talks like that. But let me tell you something. You buy into this lie, this idol, "I can control my life," then this text right here in James is gonna read like a playbook for your relationships. Because me in control means that you've got to satisfy my agenda. You in control means that people around you have got to satisfy your agenda. And your agenda will trump relationships every single time you buy into this lie. And the wreckage will absolutely be guaranteed. It'll be guaranteed. And you know what else? You know what's interesting about this idol? As it is with every idol, when the wreckage comes, guess what? Won't be your fault. Won't be your fault. It'll be everybody else's fault, right? Because you're in control, man. It's your agenda that they're not getting. They're not understanding that they got to please you. So it's their fault, man. It's not your responsibility. It's their. It's on them. It's their fault. It's their deal. That's the thing about idols. Idols never take responsibility. Idols just take. They don't take responsibility. Idols, they just take. It'll wreck your relationship with God. It'll wreck your relationship with others. It'll wreck you. You buy into this idol, this lie, I can control my life, I'm in charge, you'll be in bondage to self-deception. Self-deception will be all over your life. We see this way back in the beginning. Look at the book of Deuteronomy. Look at the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. I mean, I'm the one who did this. I accomplished this. This job, I did this. This deal, I am responsible for. This wealth, man, I pulled that in. My power, my abilities, my talents, my juice, that's how that came, man. God's saying, no, you're deceived. God is the one who gives you the ability to get that wealth. God is the one who gives you the skills to do what you do. God is the one who does that, not you. You're deceived. You buy into this lie, you'll buy into self-deception, man. Acts nuggets this truth for us. Look at this text in the book of Acts 17. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone. He himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. I created all this for me. No, you didn't. God did everything. In him we live and move and have our being. But if you buy into the lie of this idol, man, you'll think you're responsible for everything. It's God who even gives you the breath in your lungs, who gives you, right there, that was from God. Oh, there's another one. He gave me that one too. Yeah, I can do this all day as long as he gives them to me. Yeah, because I didn't do that. He did that. And by the way, just as an aside, if you're having a rough day this week, maybe you're having a rough time, just breathe in. You know what that'll remind you of? God gave that to you. He's not forgotten about you. He's not given up on you. He still believes in you. He still has a plan for your life, right? It's true. He really does. It really is. I know, seven of us. Yeah, God, that's right. You're so good. No, it's true. I mean, it really is true. But let me tell you, you believe this lie, you'll push that aside and you'll say, no, God, I'm in charge. I'm the one who's the master of my own destiny. You know, Jesus talked about a guy like that. In the book of Luke, it's a story. Look at it. And Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? Here's the guy going, man, I'm in charge. See all this? I did all this. You know what's interesting to me about this text? Is that there's nowhere in this text, no evidence at all, that this guy looked anywhere else to do anything else with his wealth. He never looked, hey, maybe I can bless somebody over here, or maybe I can give this to this person, or maybe I can help out here. No, it was all about him. Look, I got an expansion project, man. I'm gonna build bigger barns. They'll be a testimony to me. And then I'll sit back and go eat, drink, and be merry. And God says, you fool, you fool. Tonight, your life, your soul will be required of you. Do you know that that's going to be every single one of us in the next 100 years? 100 years from now, none of us are going to be here. From now until that mark, every single one of us, one by one, are going to step into eternity. We're going to be that guy. You ready for that? is coming for you. You ready for that? Not like these dudes who predict the end of the world and what didn't happen yesterday. Some people, oh, where's Pastor Jerry? Maybe he got taken. No. No. I'm here to let you know. He's still here. I mean, seriously, I mean, I'm sorry. That stuff just drives me nuts, right? People go, oh no, I calculated wrong last 50 times, but this time, you know, I forgot to carry the one then, but now. Wow. But you know what they do get right? Someday it is going to happen. Are you ready for that day? Because you're going to step into a forever. And if you buy into this lie, the idol of power is going to whittle your life, your entire world down to just you, obsessed, alone, and stepping into eternity, unprepared, and totally empty-handed. It's a big deal. This is serious business, you guys. Eternally serious. Wreck your relationship with God, wreck your relationship with others, wreck you. So how do we deal with it? Now, here's the good news. Here's the good news. Here's the incredible news. Because God has given us a way to deal with it. He's given us a way to just the death blow to this idol. And it's all wrapped around two words. First word is repent. You've heard Pastor Jerry talk about this before. Repent. Repentance means a 180. You were going this way and now you turn around about face and you go this way. You're not looking over your shoulder going, hey, boy, I'm going to miss that. No way. Now you're charging in the complete opposite direction. You are repenting. Romans 12:9 says, hate what it is evil, cling to what is good. Man, that's why repentance is more than just, hey, I'm sorry. No way. Repentance is the blinders have come off and you go, what have I been doing? What have I done? God, I see this for what it is. It's evil. I don't want anything to do with this ever again. So you got to realize that when you buy into this lie, this idol, I can control my life, you have waged a violent uprising in the throne room of your heart. You have kicked the sovereign king off of his rightful place and you have stood there saying, I'm God in my life. Your only hope and my only hope is total repentance. To say, God, I don't want that. I'm charging after you. And what you charge after is the truth. Because once you repent, you replace. Repentance is such a gift and such a grace from God that we can slam the brakes on and say, no more. Now I'm going to replace. Replace that lie with the truth. See, the only way you're going to beat a lie in your life is to drag it out into the light of truth. Expose it. Because then it totally falls apart. You got to replace that belief in a lie with a choice to believe the truth. The truth right here. Right here. And in specific, when it comes to this idol, this is the truth you believe. Trust. You believe, trust. I'm going to trust in God. See, the only remedy for control is trust. See, before it was, I'm going to control my life. But now, God, you're going to control my life. I choose to trust you. You know how that happens? You get in the word, man. You get in the word and you allow the word to just get into your head and get into your heart and transform and shape and change your life as you just soak in and sink your teeth in to scriptures that talk about trusting God, because you've got to replace that lie with the truth of I'm going to choose to trust God. Look at, I just grabbed a handful of scriptures. Take a look at these. Awesome. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust, your choice, my choice, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. You want to be blessed? You trust in God. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. You want peace? You got to trust God because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. The rock eternal, our anchor point that doesn't change. Something you can just wrap your life around and be confident in. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And so you choose, I'm going to replace my belief in the lie with a belief in truth that I can trust God. I'm not in control, God. You're in control. And as you get into God's word and you spend time in God's word every single day, you got a flyer every Sunday when you come here on the notes, your note page, on the back of that, it walks through a process. Every day you spend time in the word as you choose to do that. You know what you're going to see? You're going to see a record of God's faithfulness. He's got a track record of faithfulness. You know what else you're going to see? You're going to see that he really does time and time and time and time and time again fulfill his promises. And then you know what's going to happen? It's going to dawn on you. And maybe even today, this day will be today, that you hold in your hand thousands of years of recorded proof that God can be trusted. That's good. That's awesome. And it's true. And it's true. And when you choose to trust God, it'll transform your life. It'll transform your life. And it'll show up in your life too. Oh yeah, what you believe, what we really believe shows up in my life. You want to know what I really believe? Don't listen to just what I say. Watch what I do. You're the same. That's how God made us. It's like, if you choose to trust in God, it's going to show up in your life. You're going to follow God. You're going to obey him. You're going to listen to him. You're going to feel secure in him because you're going to believe his word to you. Regardless of what the circumstances in the moment seem to say, regardless of what your own emotions seem to say, regardless of what the opinions of people or the press of our culture seems to say in that moment, when you get into the word and you allow the truth to grab a hold of you, you're going to realize, I don't have that as my authority. This is my authority. This is my authority. I can believe this. I can trust God. I can trust God. You really can. Yeah, that's the thing. You know what? You know what else? If you don't trust God, that'll show up in your life too. Oh yeah, you're not gonna follow him. You're not gonna listen to him. You're not gonna obey him. See, because every one of God's commands, check this, every single one of God's commands is his invitation to you to trust him. Every one of his commands is his invitation to you to trust him. Every time you choose to obey, you are declaring, God, I trust you. I trust that your way is better than mine. I trust that you really do love me. I trust that you really do care about me. I trust that you really do have a life for me that matters. I trust that you really are smarter than me in this situation and in my life. I trust you. Every time you choose to obey, you're saying, God, I trust you. But if you don't trust him, you'll never obey him. And the wreckage in your life, it's gonna happen, man. It's absolutely gonna happen. Wreck your relationship with God, with others, and with you. But if you choose to trust God, those things get flipped. No more are you alienated from God. You're reconciled to God. You're walking with him. You're hearing his heartbeat for you as your heavenly father. In your relationship world, God's gonna give you what you need. You can't have the kind of relationships that you wanna have without God, because God's the source of love. You'll never be able to experience and express love if you're not connected to God. But when you choose to connect to God and you choose to obey him, guess what? It's not gonna matter what the other person does. Because you know what? It's not about them. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about obeying him. And he'll give you what you need to handle the conflict and the trials and the struggles in your relationships. And three, you'll be ready for eternity. And when you step into forever, you're gonna step there with arms full of life lived for the King of Kings. It's pretty amazing stuff. So what is it with you? What is it with you? Because it's going to be something. If you bought into the lie of this idol, are you going to choose to trust God? You're going to choose to trust God. So it really is that simple. I'm going to trust me. I'm going to trust God. There's one other thing. One other thing, this whole trusting God business, it's big. This is God's word. This is his revelation to you and to me of who he is, of who we are, of what is really real right here. This is God's communication to us of how life works. Now, you may look at this. See, I work with college kids, so I get this. We have these conversations. You may look at this word and you may go, man, that's a lot of stuff, man. There's a lot of commands. There's a lot of instructions. There's a lot of guidelines in there. And God is serious about every single one. Are you kidding me? You know what I say? Yep. He is. There are lots of commands. There are lots of instructions. There's a lot of communication from God to you and to me that he expects. Because you know what? He doesn't say, well, you just pick and choose. No. His terms are simple. You want to follow him? You want to follow him? Demand nothing, surrender everything. Those are his terms. Jesus said, you want to come after me? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me. Because the only way you're going to experience his commitment to you is to be all in. That's a privilege he gives us. And he has loaded his word with all kinds of commands, and he has ramped way up the intensity here. He expects us to obey every single one of them, to go after, to charge after every single one of them. And you might be sitting there going, just like a lot of my college kids, when I talk to them, they go, are you kidding me? Really? Seriously? Why? Why so much? And why is God so intense? Let me answer that this way. You mean I gotta trust God with all this stuff? Let me answer it this way. My wife and I, we have two kids. Dylan is 10. Lindsay is 7. At our house, we don't have a lot of yelling and screaming of safety instructions. When my kids get up in the morning, we're not going, okay, kids, look out. There's shards of glass all down the hallway. Be careful for that. Look out at those knives sprinkled all over the stairway. Watch out for that gaping hole in the living room that falls down into the basement. And stay away from that bottle of poison gas in the fridge. Make sure you use the gas mask when you open up the freezer. Really? Is that your house? You got issues. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just saying. No, we don't do that. Why? Because there's no broken glass. We don't leave knives scattered everywhere. We don't store poison gas. We don't do any of that. Why? It's our home. And my wife and I, we do everything humanly possible to make a safe environment for our kids because it's our home. But imagine, Dylan and Lindsay were taken and they were dropped in the middle of a field and buried just underneath the surface all around that field were hundreds of landmines, explosive devices with one purpose, to rip, to tear, to shred, to maim, to kill. And imagine, I'm standing on the edge of that field and I know where every single one of those devices are laid and buried. What do you think my communication to my kids is going to be? Hey, Dylan, Lindsay, hey, yeah, come on over here. Now, look, just kind of be careful because there's some stuff buried around. You might want to be careful. You don't want to, you know, just so, yeah, come on, just kind of stroll over here. Oh, sorry, Dylan. Lindsay, be a little more careful because you're bothered. You know, he's in pieces, but why don't you? Are you kidding me? I'm on the edge of that field and I'm screaming to my kids. Dylan, listen to me. Now look, there's landmines everywhere. They're gonna explode and I know where they are. So you listen to me, okay? I want you to take 4 steps that way. Great, okay. Now take 5 steps this way towards me. And Dylan's going, no, Dad, wait a minute. You know, that looks pretty good over there. I don't care how it looks, Dylan. I know that is not for real. That is not where you wanna go. Listen. But Dad, it looks pretty good. I don't care what it looks like. Listen to me. And I'm ramping way up the amount of instructions, and way up the intensity. Why? Why? 3 things. Because I know where the danger is, I know what it'll do, and I love my kids like crazy. And how they do in that minefield all depends on how well they trust me and my words to them. Listen to me, please listen. Sin has made this world a minefield. It's not our home. As believers, it's not our home. This is a dangerous place, and the danger goes far deeper than just a physical element. It will rip and tear and shred into the spiritual tissue of your very soul. And so God has ramped way up the amount of instructions and the intensity of those instructions. Why? Because he knows where the danger is. He knows what it'll do to you, and he loves you like crazy. And how well you do in this minefield all depends if you choose to trust him and to trust his word to you. All depends on how well you choose to trust him and trust his word to you. So what is it for you? I'm going to control my life. God, I want you to control my life. I'm going to be the master of my own destiny. God, I want you to be the master of my destiny. I'm going to trust me. No, God, I'm going to trust you. What is it for you? Because it really is that simple, and it really is that profound, and it really is your choice. So, Wes, how do I know if the Isle of Power's got its hooks into me? How do I know if I'm being deceived? One question. Is there any area in your life that you've fully not trusted God with? Not really. Is there any area in your life where you're not really trusting God? Any area in your life where you're still trying to control and own? If there is, the idol is doing its work. The idol is having its way. But the good news is we can repent. We can replace. And we can trust God. Your choice. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank you so much, you guys, for your graciousness. I really, really appreciate that. But this is the most important time right here. This is it. This is the most important time. What has God talked to you about? If you ask him to speak to you, he has spoken to you. What did he talk to you about? And what do you need to do about it? Is there an area in your life where you're not trusting God? Not really. Maybe it's an area of relationship, or maybe it's a job thing, or maybe it's your money, or maybe it's internet sites that you visit, or maybe it's a thought life, or maybe it's something else. right now is the Holy Spirit putting his finger on something in your life going, man, you haven't trusted God with this. Where do you need to repent? Where do you need to replace? If God has talked to you, I trust that he has, then talk to him. Whatever you need to choose, talk to him right now, right now. He is your first line of accountability. You talk to him. For some of you here today, you've never entrusted your life to Christ. You've never entrusted your life to Christ. You maybe know all about him. You've lived a good life. You know what? That's never going to get it done. Your good is never good enough. Neither is mine, because the standard is perfect. And you're a sinner. So am I. We are sinners. And we need a Savior. The good news is that God has made a way. He's made all the first moves. He's come after you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to pay the penalty for your sin and mine on the cross. The payment for sin is death. And Jesus took that on the grave. He was buried. 3 days later, rose from the grave, conquering sin, death, hell, the grave. And now he offers you a relationship with himself. He offers you eternal life. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him, commits to him, trusts him, will not perish, but will have eternal life. Eternal life is a relationship with God, a home in heaven, and it's a relationship that starts the moment you commit your life to Christ. If I'm talking to you, it's not me, it's God. He brought you here to hear this. If you've never invited your Christ into your life, you've never trusted him with your life, if you died tonight, you don't know you'd go to heaven, you're pretty sure you wouldn't, that can change right now. You got to go God's way. You got to admit that you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. That Jesus died for you, offers you eternal life. You turn from your sins. You repent. I've seen what I can do with my life. God, I'm ready to see what you can do with my life. And you invite Christ in your life. You surrender everything to him. If that's you, tell him right now. If that's you, tell him right now. In fact, you can pray something like this, not out loud. It's in your heart because you're not talking to anybody else. You're talking to God. You can say something like this. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I know I can't save myself. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sin. You have eternal life to give me, and I want that. I want you. So I turn from my sin. I repent. I don't want that. And I run to you. And I invite you into my life. I commit my life to you. I'm all in. You got every single bit of me. I trust you. Come in and be my Savior. Be my Lord, be my friend. I will follow you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, my final question. But if you just prayed that prayer, here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. I'm gonna ask you to stand to your feet and look me in the eye. That's all. I'm not gonna call you out, I'm not gonna embarrass you, but if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, I'm gonna invite you to stand to your feet and look me right in the eye, because I wanna look you in the face and I wanna pray for you. See, your standing does two really important things. One, it allows me the privilege of praying for you. And two, second thing it does, it starts a process that God says is absolutely critical. We make our decision for Christ public. So if that's you, I'm just going to invite you to stand right to your feet, look right at me, and wave at me until I see you, because I want to pray for you. Wes isn't me. I just committed my life to Christ. I invited Jesus into my life. Here's me. I'm serious about this. Thank you. Stay standing just for a moment. I want to pray for you guys. If I don't see you, wave at me. If I don't acknowledge you, thank you. I see you, bro. See you, man. Stay standing just for a moment. I'm going to pray for you guys. I see you, man. Awesome. Anybody else? Over here. God bless you, bro. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Wave at me until I see you. Thank you. So I'm going to pray for you. Thanks, man. Because if I'm sitting across the coffee shop table in a Starbucks, I would want to look you in the face. I would want to pray for you. I see you guys. Thank you. Awesome. Anybody else before I pray for these? If I haven't acknowledged you, wave at me. I don't want to miss anybody, man. You're surrounded by a bunch of fans here, and I don't want to miss you. I want to pray for you guys. Stay standing. In fact, while you're standing, just let me say this to you, okay? In just a moment, I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to be dismissed. I'm going to be in this fireside room. Now, if you're serious, and I really hope you are, I want you to make a beeline, bring everybody you want to, and I want you to come into that fireside room. I'm going to be waiting for you, okay? I want you to walk right up to me, shake my hand, and tell me, I just invited Christ into my life. I'm going to put something in your hand that's going to help you. Okay? This is the most important decision in your life. For me to go, hey, good job, good luck. Wow, are you kidding me? No way. I want to get that to you, okay? So if I could invite you, as soon as we're done, I'm going to just run. In fact, I'm running right down that aisle. I'm going to go right there. I want you to come and I want you to meet me, okay? It'll just take a few minutes. I'm going to give you something. No strings attached, okay? Let me pray for you guys. Lord, I thank you for those who stood up and saying, man, want to give my life to Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to know the people there at Lockport, the people at home, and the people here are standing. They've made that decision. Help them to know if they've been serious with you, you've been serious with them. You're moving into their life right now. May they wrap their arms around you. And may they run after you with everything that they got. Lord, I thank you for them. I praise you for them. Do a work in their heart because you are the one who's doing this. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I pray for the rest of us. Lord, trusting you is active. It's not passive. It's coming after you with everything we got, choosing to listen to you, choosing to believe, choosing to trust, choosing to obey. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do that. Lord, thank you that you've given us your word. You've given us your truth. May we live this week trusting you because you're worthy. In your name we pray these things, Christ. Amen.